Washington, D.C. is a great place to look for business deals with federal agencies, but it's not the only place. Larry Allen of Allen Federal Business Partners and publisher of the Week Ahead newsletter has a top three list for increasing your business opportunities. And the first is to think outside the capital area, only if you want to do it wrong. Right, Larry?
That's right, Francis. There's plenty of things that can be done outside of the Washington area. And I think a lot of times people rightly conclude that Washington drives a lot of federal business, regardless of where it is in the country. But that's not the only place where the action is. In fact, if you talk to a lot of people in government agencies, they're a little weary of talking to people in industry all the time because there's just so much happening right here. So one of the things I'm recommending to people is, look, there's going to be federal installations in every one of the 50 states and territories and even in Europe and Asia. And these are all places that have contracting officers who have contracting officer warrants. And they don't want those warrants sitting on a shelf gathering dust. They'd rather do something with them. So that's a good time to go out and see what can be found outside the Beltway.
We talked on the program earlier today about some partnering opportunities that went awry with Rocky Galloway. And you can find more about that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Rocky's an attorney with general counsel. But it doesn't mean that people should just write off partnering opportunities altogether just because they can require some extra scrutiny and work, right?
Oh, I think that's exactly right. I think the biggest thing I would tell companies contemplating partnerships, whether it was a teaming agreement on a GSA schedule or something similar, even a prime sub, is to take the time to set the framework up for your partnership in advance. There are no good shotgun weddings in government contracting, Francis. Even though people want to move at the speed of need, and sometimes they feel, well, you know, we got jilted at the altar by one partner. Let's see who's in the congregation who might stand up with us. Those types of things inevitably lead to problems. So if you're going to team, if you're going to partner, make sure that you take the time to choose your partners carefully, just as presumably you would in other aspects of your life.
And you can hear my conversation with Rocky Galloway about an hour from now on Federal News Radio. The third item that you're writing about is to go non-traditional. And I might argue with you a little bit when you say non-traditional. I would maybe amend that or suggest that you change that the bullet on this one to just think outside the box a little bit.
Well, right. What we're talking about here is that oftentimes new market entries, whether they're small, medium, or large, look at government business and say, look, we've got to get in front of the CIO. We have to get in front of the project manager for the project that we want to work with in the federal agency. And that's not always the case. There are many, many more companies set up to do business as a supplier, as a subcontractor, Francis, than there are to be prime contractors. So sometimes your best bet for driving government business is going to be talking to another contractor. Still government business, and in fact, you might find that that's a better fit for your company than being a prime. So that's what we're kind of mean by saying, look, it's not non-traditional, but it's not automatically what people usually think of either.
You can find out how to sign up for Larry's Week Ahead newsletter and at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, and I read it every week, and I thank you for sending it to me and putting in this all together. You gave me a sneak peek of Monday's coming newsletter, and it includes kind of an indictment of something that's going on at the General Services Administration.
It does, and what we're talking about for Monday, Francis, is the anecdotal evidence strongly suggests that GSA's telework approach and their consolidation of all their national functions into their 1800 F Street headquarters hasn't really worked out so well. If you're a contractor or even sometimes if you're a line-level GSA employee, remember a couple of years ago we speculated on this very program that the GSA's proposed consolidation and move to telework might cause some delays and might cause some glitches in how the agency does its work. Those mites are no longer there, Francis. Judging by the anecdotal evidence that I've heard from contractors and others, telework at GSA has definitely disrupted the flow of business. Contracting officers, for example, may be in their federal office building only one day a week and available for meetings only on that one day. And if you're not in town, if you can't make it on that day, or if they suddenly get called into a half a day of training and have to cancel meetings, that's going to slow business down, and those are the types of things that happen all of the time. And certainly this winter we saw with the snow in the Washington, D.C. region that that led to further disruptions. And I think it's just terribly frustrating for contractors, but it's also frustrating for GSA personnel who want and need some privacy when they're negotiating sensitive contracts with confidential pricing information. And the setup of the office space in the agency just doesn't lend itself to that.
You write, meeting appointments that are handled by schedulers result in the scheduler not being in the office the day of the meeting. That means either no one is available to escort a civilian visitor inside the building, or no one's there to explain to the official why that meeting appeared on their calendar in the first place. And I've seen cases, obviously not at GSA and not having to do with meetings about contracts, but I certainly see cases where an executive has a meeting on his calendar, he doesn't know why it's there, and so he just blows it out. I'm not doing that. I don't have any idea why I should devote a half hour of my life to this person or that person.
I think that certainly is the case. And again, you're right. It's not just GSA, but I think that, you know, we've seen this happen with the telework program at GSA where, you know, somebody's there, the scheduler's there on one day, the boss is there for a couple of other days, and, you know, you think that as the person who got the meeting set up that you've got your meeting and you're good to go, only to find that, you know, that meeting gets canceled the day of because nobody knows what the meeting's about, or in some cases you can be stranded at the security desk and can't get in the agency because the person who's there supposed to escort you up is working from home in the suburbs that day. And that's frustrating for people in the Washington area to have that happen because it's a loss of our time. But imagine for all of the people who come in from out of town specifically to meet with individuals, whether it's GSA or another federal agency, only to have a meeting canceled at the last minute on what seems to a neutral observer to be a whim. And, you know, you've sunk your time, you've sunk your airfare, and now your company's going to be sinking too.
And my sense is that you wouldn't have written about this unless this was happening a lot. You wouldn't just say have one or two people that would tell you this happened to them and you write something like this.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, look, if you've been in federal business for a long time, like you and I both have been observers and in this business for many years, you're used to the typical give and take of the average work week. Things like canceled meetings happen whether you're in government or industry. So if it's background noise, I think it's recognizable as such. But certainly the preponderance of the issues that have happened within the last 6 months seem to have elevated it beyond the level of background noise, at least based on the people who've been reaching out to me, Francis.
Larry Allen is the president of Allen Federal Business Partners and writes the Week Ahead newsletter. And the only solution for this appears to be make people show up again. That just pretty much blows out the whole telework policy that the government set up. And it certainly would create a jam up as far as a place for people to work at 1800F because there's not enough space for everybody to come in.
Right. I think that that's, you know, that certainly is a big problem. You addressing the overall square footage you have is a big issue. But the other issue, Francis, is using the square footage you have more wisely. And that's probably the more easily addressable issue of the two. So things like making sure that if you've got contracting officers that are working on, let's say, an IT contract, that they're in the same part of the building and get a sense of teamwork and can work towards each other's mutual benefit. And similarly, those people also have the access to private workspaces when they need to have private workspaces so that they can do the work that the government's entrusting them to do. That's not going to solve the problem of having people only available for meetings one day a week, but it will make sure that when people are actually in that office, that they're more productive.